This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
From Ravenswire as well. What's going on, Kevin?
Hey, it's tough way for the Ravens to lose on Sunday. All good things must come to an end. And so for the Ravens, their 5-game win streak officially over, and it wasn't pretty how it ended.
No, it wasn't. And, you know, I looked at it. It was a couple of bad losses around the league this week. Obviously, everybody's looking at the Bears losing on a Hail Mary. But I look at this Ravens loss to Cleveland as one of the worst losses of the week, because we all know what Cleveland's been going through this year. They just changed all play callers. They go to their backup quarterback. They've got issues on the offensive line. They traded away their top receiver. And yet here they are on Sunday moving the ball pretty easily up and down the field on this Ravens defense. I mean, how bad of a loss was Sunday?
It was bad. It was really bad. And for a lot of different reasons, too. I think, you know, sometimes you can point to one or two, you know, maybe multiple reasons why a team lost. And I think in this game, you could point to almost double-digit reasons why the Ravens lost. And obviously, everybody's talking about the defense, and rightfully so. I thought it was a very weird coordinator game for Zach Orr and for Todd Monken. I thought, you know, if we want to talk offense, Todd Monken got too cute in a lot of different situations, especially on third and short and fourth and short. I mean, you have Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry. That's what makes your offense the unstoppable force that we've been talking about all season. And you know, you don't really use them that way. You know, you take Lamar off the field on the fourth down. You put Charlie Kohler under center on a third and short. Like, it's that type of stuff. And then, obviously, flipping back to defense, it's the secondary who was down Marlon Humphrey and Nate Wiggins. Obviously, the whole Marcus Williams situation just kind of came out of nowhere. And Eddie Jackson had just a terrible game. And, you know, it's something that's been talked about where, yeah, the Ravens faced a pretty big gauntlet of quarterbacks in the first 7 weeks of the season, you know, future Hall of Famers and MVP candidates alongside Lamar Jackson. But, you know, Jameis Winston, he's an NFL quarterback, right? But he's not on the level of those guys. And so, you know, it's one thing, okay, you play Patrick Mahomes week one, that's a test. You know, you play Josh Allen week four, you pass that test. You know, you play all these good quarterbacks, but, you know, you shouldn't allow Jameis Winston to go out there, throw for 300-plus, and obviously it's the discipline and dropping interceptions, dropping passes. The Ravens beat themselves in this game in so many different ways, and I think that's why it's such a bad loss.
The way I look at it, Kevin, is I'm not sure that the Ravens could match Cleveland's intensity in all three phases, because all three phases, you know, when you're having drops on offense, you're having drops on defense, you're having communication issues on defense, you're having penalties on special teams, you know, and the kicker's not hitting the ball, you know, so it was everybody that, and Cleveland played with a total different intensity that they had played with in the past, because they were flying around both sides of the ball.
Oh, yeah, 100%. And, you know, it's the saying, you win as a team, you lose as a team. Baltimore lost as a team on Sunday, because you're right, it was all three phases of the game. And I know John Harbaugh on Monday was critical of the special teams unit and, you know, said that they really weren't on the same page there, which is, you know, you don't want to hear that 2 months into the season, but here we are. But, I mean, you're right. I go back to, you know, last year against Cleveland, where the Ravens lost that game. Deshaun Watson had the second half of his life, didn't throw an incompletion. And that was a game where Baltimore was out-physical. Cleveland wanted it more. They played with more effort and intensity. And now you fast forward to Sunday here, and you saw some of the same stuff. And I think it's why, when you were kind of taking the pulse of what Baltimore was feeling going into this game, you know, around the city. And it's like, man, well, Deshaun Watson has been known, right? It was bad on the field and, you know, he wasn't doing anything. He was grading out as one of the worst quarterbacks in league history. And so you put Jameis Winston in there, who's kind of like the unknown. You switch play callers and that's the unknown. And so everybody uses that phrase trap game for this, because Cleveland at the time was a 1-6 football team. And now for the Ravens, you're the only team in the AFC with three AFC losses and two of your losses have come against teams with a combined record of 2-12. So it's tough to look at it that way, but obviously Baltimore does need to be more disciplined. And, you know, it just feels like for some of these teams where, you know, the Ravens do match up better on paper and they do have more talent on the roster on paper, whether it's not coming out with the right intensity, you know, not doing what they need to do, whatever it is, sometimes they just fall into these trap games, these holes. And it's been a thing it's not a one-off. It's been this thing for a pretty long time now.
We're talking to Kevin Ostreicher from Locked On Ravens podcast, also from Ravens Wires, Vinny and Haney on 105.7 The Fan. And Kevin, we didn't see Marcus Williams on the field on Sunday. John Harbaugh told us after the game that it was a personnel decision, a matter that they're handling internally. Yesterday, didn't give many necessarily new details on what's happening with Marcus Williams. He expressed his confidence in him, but also didn't commit to Marcus Williams being back on the field on Sunday. How do you feel about this situation?
It kind of crept up out of nowhere for me, because personally I thought that, you know, even though Marcus has been playing pretty bad football this season, I thought they were going to ride it out with him. If it got bad, they could move on from him in the offseason and save a couple million. But, you know, the fact that they didn't even make him a healthy scratch. They had him active and weren't playing him. That says something. I don't know what the situation is, obviously, what happened, why this happened to him, but we know he wasn't playing well. We know that for a fact. And we also know that in this game, Baltimore was thin in the secondary. I mean, apparently, you know, Eddie Jackson or Darius Washington found out Wednesday, I believe. And, you know, that's tough, because you're already down two corners. Your secondary is already struggling, and Marcus certainly is a part of that struggle. But, you know, they tried something. It didn't work. You know, whether this is just performance-based, whether something else happened, we don't know. You're right, John Harbaugh, you know, choosing to keep it internal, and, you know, I doubt we're going to hear anything else about it. Maybe something comes out, but who knows. But for the Ravens, it kind of further hammers home the point that, you know, a safety at the trade deadline, because, you know, that's coming up in a week now, is that something that they're going to look more into? Because if you're not playing Marcus, if Eddie Jackson is playing the way he is, which is not good football, I mean, you don't really have a lot of options there. So obviously a lot of people are looking at pass rusher, and rightfully so. You know, on offense, people are calling for a wide receiver, it feels like. But defensively, you got to look there if they do make a move. Because right now, the pass rush isn't playing well, the secondary isn't playing well, and that's a disaster, because both of those units need to be in sync with each other, and right now, they're just all out of sorts.
Plus, they're kind of beat up at D-tackle right now. Travis Jones probably be out a week or so, I would imagine. I mean, he was half a man, you know, on Sunday. Yeah. He couldn't even push off, and Michael Pierce with the calf, you know, and with a concussion. We'll see if he's back in time. So, you know, they might get through. What is your percentage of them making a trade? I would say they may do something today.
Yeah, I'd say it's pretty, until a week, I think it's pretty high they make a move at some point in the next week. I mean, I think at this point they kind of have to. It's not like they have to act from a sense or, you know, a level of desperation. You don't have that. Kind of approach it from that point, but I think you have to approach it with a sense of urgency, I would say, because, you know, at this point we're 2 months into the season. You know, this isn't trial periods anymore. This isn't, well, let's see, you know, what's this defense look like? No, I mean, we have a sample size, and it's a really big one. And I said, okay, this next month of the season, starting on Sunday, it was Cleveland, it was Denver, it was Cincinnati, and it was Pittsburgh. That's going to tell a lot about the defense, because you're going up against guys that, you know, outside of Joe Burrow, obviously, who for the most part is playing well this season. It's like, okay, well, what is going to be your defensive identity? And can you, you know, Mahomes and all those good quarterbacks, that's one thing, but what can you do against, you know, these teams that you should be able to bounce back defensively on? And they couldn't do it against Jameis Winston. So I would say the percentage of them making a move is pretty high. I'd be pretty shocked if they didn't. And, you know, a lot of former Ravens are in the conversation in terms of guys like Za'Darius Smith, Jadeveon Clowney, Calais Campbell, you mentioned on the interior, and I agree with you. You know, Travis Jones played, what, I think less than 20 snaps on Sunday, and, you know, didn't look like he was able to have that same explosiveness. They're hurting, and they're not getting production, and that's a bad combination. So I think they have to do something, but, you know, they can't just make a move to make a move. It obviously has to be calculated, and Eric DaCosta has a history of making those moves, so we'll see.
Kevin, great stuff as always. Really appreciate your time this morning. How can people keep up with you and follow your work?
Absolutely. You can find me over on the Locked On Ravens podcast. We do 5 days a week plus more D the Ravens coverage over there. Video form on YouTube, audio form wherever you get your podcasts. Also right over at the Ravens Wire. Do some work over at the Ryan Ripken Show, Bleacher Report. And, of course, you can follow me over on social media at TayOstriker34.
Kevin, appreciate you, man. We'll talk again next week.
Absolutely. Appreciate you.
Coming up next here on Vinny and Haney, we'll get to the whip around check-in on the World Series, which has been a snooze fest for the most part, unless you hate the Yankees and then you've just been celebrating these three games. But we'll look at that. Look at some major injury news in the NHL as well. That's next here on The Fan.
Vinny and Haney's whip.
Brought to you by Box Hill Pizzeria and Crab Cakes. The best crab cakes in Harford County.
105.7 The Fan.
A 1-2 offering from Schmidt. Freddie swings and belts the ball right field, hooking toward the corner. Hello, short porch, and hello, Freddie Freeman. For a third straight game in this World Series, 5 straight World Series games overall, Freddie Freeman goes deep.
Vinny and Haney back on 105.7 The Fan. Cordell Woodland filling in for the Bobster here with Vinny Serrato. Quick draw McGraw behind the glass. It's the whip around, getting you some news from the world of sports. That audio you just heard courtesy of Dodgers Radio Network. Dodgers, they went 4-2 in Game 3 of the World Series, taking a 3-0 lead over the Yankees. Game 4 is tonight. You can hear that game right here on The Fan. Walker Buehler got the win last night. That highlight you just heard, Freddie Freeman with the 2-run shot to get to start the game 2-0 for the Dodgers in the top of the first. I mean, I just the Yankees look lifeless. Honestly, I was watching the game early, and he's the captain. The captain hasn't shown much life this series. That continued into yesterday as well. Another 0-for-3 outing for him. Did get the walk, but also was struck out as well. You need your stars. You need your stars in the playoffs, no matter what type of team you're talking about, what type of sport you're talking about, especially you get into the championship time, and in this case, the World Series. Your stars have to show up, and Judge just hasn't. The Dodgers, they've got a handful of stars for sure. They've got plenty to choose from, and it seems like those guys are stepping up, whether it's Ohtani, who did end up playing yesterday despite that shoulder injury. Mookie Betts, another hit yesterday as well. Teoscar Hernandez got a hit also. Dodgers are just a juggernaut. And the scary part is the Dodgers aren't going anywhere because they're just going to keep spending money and they're just going to keep getting stronger and stronger. And eventually, Ohtani, I would imagine, is still going to end up pitching. So they're going to have one of the best pitchers in the game still, with arguably the best player in the game as well, and Ohtani being both of those. I just think the Major League Baseball is in a scary place right now when you look at the Dodgers.
Yeah, and they're saying that Soto may go to the Dodgers.
He just might.
Well, when you kind of look, didn't Stan Kasten draft Soto when he was in Washington?
I didn't know it was Stan Kasten, but
well, he was there. He was the president.
Okay.
So, and then he went to the Dodgers, so there might be, you know, he knows the kid well, so they don't mind spending money.
They definitely don't mind spending money.
Can you imagine Soto, Ohtani, and they win the World Series this year.
Yeah. Yeah, that's very scary, and that's the thing. You got to pay to play in Major League Baseball. If you're not going to spend money, you can only go but so far. That's why, obviously, you know, everybody out here is hoping that things are changing for Baltimore now. They won't be able to compete with the Dodgers in terms of spending money, but you'd like to see them kind of throw their name in the hat for some of these top-tier players that will be available, because I do think Baltimore, in terms of right now with the young talent, and they've got to try to keep their own talent here as well. We'll see. But Game 4 tonight in New York, Game 4 is at 8:08, first pitch at 8:08. Remember, you can hear that game right here on The Fan as well. Let's go over to the ice. Let's check in on the NHL with the Oilers and Connor McDavid going down, which is going to be a big blow for Edmonton.
Connor McDavid played 37 seconds starting the game here, and right there's the penalty that wasn't called on the trip as he went down in the corner.
That call courtesy of Sportsnet.
Yeah, and you heard it. He got tripped, and he went like legs first into the boards, and I hurt his knee or ankle or something. He went back to Edmonton. They're on a three-game road trip, and he went back to Edmonton for more tests. So that's not good, you know, if that's the case. Plus, Edmonton, you know, I mean, they're sitting 4-5. They're kind of on the bottom of their division, close to the bottom of the division right now, which is abnormal for them. So that would be a huge blow for the Oilers, you know, if he's going to be out for some time.
Last thing before we go to break, let's go back to the NFL. Pittsburgh, they won on Monday Night Football 26-18 over the New York Giants last night. Russell Wilson, 278 yards passing, did have the touchdown as well. Probably should have had two touchdowns because we had a first last night where George Pickens catches that ball in the back of the end zone, gets his 1 foot down twice,
yeah,
but it doesn't count because you have to get both feet down. I mean, is a catch or not? I just think the NFL is getting too technical.
2 feet.
That's just crazy.
I mean, to be able to tap the same leg twice is pretty amazing.
Yeah, the degree of difficulty alone should have gotten them the touchdown,
yeah.
But it just seems like every year the NFL is confusing us even more on what a catch is.
Well, the other thing is, Cordell, on those national TV games, if I'm Roger Goodell, I'm telling you, let's not be the talk of,
right,
you know, the game.
Right.
I mean, let's knock out all the damn penalties. I mean, everything's a damn flag. Same with the Ravens game. Flag, flag, flag.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can't even enjoy a game because they want to control the game. They want to call every, like, the hold on Lindebaum. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, some of these calls are ridiculous. You know, if in doubt, don't throw it.
Yeah, I'm all for not throwing a flag. If the penalty is happening on the other side, you know, like, you want to know a penalty that really upsets me, and I get it's a big thing right now, especially with the RPOs, but the illegal man downfield,
oh, yeah,
when the play is happening on the other side of the field, how many big plays have been called back because a lineman who doesn't know whether the quarterback has thrown it or handed it off is now being flagged for illegal man down the field? It's a useless penalty. It doesn't impact the play at all. I would agree that it, when in doubt, definitely keep the flag in your back pocket. Coming up next here on Vinny and Haney, we'll be joined by Ryan Ripken. Of course, he was a big part of the Baltimore Baseball Tonight crew, has his own show, the Ryan Ripken Show. We'll talk about the World Series with him next here on The Fan. Looking at this World Series, it's been obviously lopsided with the Dodgers taking a 3-0 lead, winning last night. Game 4 is tonight, and all eyes have been on Aaron Judge and kind of his lackluster performance offensively to this point. Another strikeout last night, which adds up to 7 in these 3 games. He's only got 1 hit so far. I mean, how disappointed or surprised, whatever you want to call it, are you with Aaron Judge's performance to this point in the World Series?
Well, you know, and it's interesting, right? And I think, you know, it's like in Space Jam in some cases, right? Like the Space Jam movie with Michael Jordan and the Monstars steal the players, all their powers. That's mm-hmm. kind of what it feels like with Aaron Judge, where I think a lot of people are trying to wrap their heads around how does the best player in baseball, and Aaron Judge was the best hitter during the season. He was. He's going to be the AL MVP, hottest hitter from mid-May on. And then all of a sudden, in the biggest moments, you know, he's non-existent. And that's kind of how the Yankees lineup has been in the World Series, Cordell. They've been non-existent. And the crazy thing is that they could have won maybe a game or two there. In L.A., that game 1 goes down as one of the best World Series games ever. You know, they're 1 pitch, 1 out away. And that's despite the opportunities that Aaron Judge has had at the plate to cash in and hasn't, you know. So it would be okay if the Yankees were winning games, right? You know, the Dodgers have been finding different ways, but for the Yankees, it's either someone has to step up, and that guy for a while felt like it was Stanton, maybe Juan Soto. But make no mistake, you know, Aaron Judge is the catalyst of that offense. And when he's not going, it's a drastic impact on their team. And you're seeing it. And for New York, it takes 1 swing for Aaron Judge to get going. But time's running out here. And obviously, it might be a mountain that's too high to climb here as they're down 3-0.
Well, you mentioned game one and how great it was, and it was Freddie Freeman hitting the walk-off home grand slam. And really, yeah, I think after last night's homer, I mean, Freddie Freeman right now probably is going to win World Series MVP. We'll see. But how deflating do you think that was for the Yankees, for that to be game one, for them to lose that game the way that they did? Do you feel like that kind of impacted them all the way to this point, going into a do-or-die situation tonight in game four?
Well, first off, Cordell, Dodgers win. Yes, your 2024 MVP of the World Series is going to be Mr. Freddie Freeman, man. He has been unbelievable, homering in each game so far this World Series, and really on similar location, by the way. I don't have time to break that down, but there was a similarity. It was don't throw Freddie up and in or anywhere in, because that's a sweet spot. But I digress. That first game, definitely that momentum shifted. It was one that was a gut punch to New York because you felt like that could have started everything off on a different page. And then game two happens, and you're playing catch-up. And then also the same thing in game three. New York and the Bronx is humming. They're excited. It's back in New York. And 15 pitches into the game, Freddie Freeman does it again on a pitch with two strikes. You know, so the circumstances definitely are deflating for a team. And I think the other part, Cordell, going back to the Yankees offense, when you know that there's a hitter like Freddie on the other side or there's talent on the other side that the Dodgers have for the Yankees and you fall behind, it kind of feels like, you know, and I know O's fans, sorry to open up some wounds here, but that's kind of how you felt with the O's when they felt behind down the stretch, right? People felt that, oh, man, the Orioles are behind. It's going to be hard for them to come back. That's how the Yankees feel right now, where if they fall behind too much, they don't seem or feel to have the confidence, have the firepower to get back in the game. So I'm really curious about if the Dodgers can get ahead early here. Will that be the nail in the coffin for the Bronx Bombers?
Do the Yankees have a chance?
So you're telling me there's a chance, Vinny, right? I mean, yeah, they always got a chance, right? But we're going to have to see something historic again. You know, and I saw Aaron Boone's press conference. I don't know if you guys did last night. Someone asked him that, you know, how do you guys feel? Like, do you think it's actually possible? And Aaron stared at the reporter and good for him. He didn't rip that reporter to shreds. He goes, we're focused on, we got to win one game first. And that's the truth, right? Like, you got to break it down where before you can go, okay, we dropped the game, but we're always focused on winning the next, but then get back to New York. Now it is, we got to win game four to live to play another day. If you can win game four, all right, now let's focus on game five. And then once you can stack one, you can stack another. And this game has seen a lot of crazy moments, right, Vinny? So definitely possible. Do I think it's going to happen, though? No. You know, I think this Dodgers team is just too dang good. And they're doing so many things right that this would – this, to me, would be even more impressive than what the Red Sox did to the Yankees back in 2004.
We're talking to Ryan Ripken from Baltimore Baseball Tonight. Also from the Ryan Ripken Show is Vinny and Haney on 105.7 The Fan. And Ryan, you talk about the Dodgers and just how good they are right now. And I mentioned it earlier. The scary thing is they're just going to get better as the years go on. I mean, they're going to keep spending money. They're going to keep acquiring talent. Oh, yeah, and Ohtani eventually is going to pitch again. So they're going to have a dominant player on each side of the ball, and both of them are Shohei Ohtani at that side. But just how scary is this for the league, knowing kind of what's to come with this Dodgers team?
Well, I think what you see is a team that obviously is loaded with talent, and it doesn't hurt when you got the, you know, all the money it feels like in the world to spend, right? And guys are figuring it out more. Like Yamamoto was injured and has come back and has looked sensational, you know. And obviously Ohtani, we know what he can do at the plate. We're gonna see him again pitch. You're right. Like, you're looking at this and going, man, how can anyone stop them? But I do want to remind people, you know, this is the beauty about baseball is you can be one of the best teams, the hottest teams, and in an instant, your season can be over in the postseason. It almost was for the Dodgers, right? The Padres looked like they were about to send the L.A. packing. You know, they were handling them, in that game three, they had all the momentum, and then they're one win away, you know? And after the Dodgers fought off that elimination game in game four, they never looked back. But so that's my point, is any team can get hot in the postseason. Any team can go on a run. But if you're looking at a team that you can count on that's going to be in the dance year in and year out with that core that LA has, yeah, they're not going anywhere. But other MLB teams, you can dethrone them, but you got to make sure that you're playing your best ball at the right time.
Ryan Ripken, great stuff as always, man. Really appreciate your time this morning. How can people keep up with you and find your work?
So just check out the Ryan Ripken Show on YouTube. Do shows live Mondays and Thursdays and Sundays. And oh, gosh. Yeah, and then I try to be friendly. Cordell, you know that, so you can follow me on X as well. And we can have a great conversation.
Excellent, excellent. Was it you that ended up getting the Jonathan Taylor in your fantasy league the other day?
Yeah, I don't. You know, the crazy thing is he was dropped, right?
I know, which is crazy.
And I lost, and the person who dropped him has now won two in a row.
Yeah.
Don't you love fantasy football sometimes, Cordell?
Well, I love it when I'm winning, so I did win this week, so yes, I do love it.
Yeah, and you are the defending champ.
I wasn't going to bring that up, but since you did, yes, I am.
I'm getting out of here now, Cordell.
Appreciate it, Ryan. Coming up next here on Vinny and Haney, we'll get to the fun house, see what you guys are talking about on the text line. That's next here on The Fan.
Quick Draws Funhouse. The rudeness, tuneness text reader.
Who's the fastest gun alive?
This side of the Chesapeake.
I like that quick draw.
105.7 The Fan.
Well, let's start here with the World Series. This texter says the Dodgers' postseason success should serve as a reminder. Bullpen is the most important factor when building a championship roster. That's the way baseball is played these days. LA's going with a bullpen game tonight as they try to close out a World Series sweep. Even the thought of that would make people's heads spin 20 years ago.
Yeah, I mean, look, you definitely need your bullpen in the postseason. We see a lot of these games, the starters don't have much of a shelf life out there. Once the first sign of trouble, a lot of times these guys are getting taken out. So we saw it earlier in this series, and maybe it wasn't the right thing to do, but Gerrit Cole taken out after, 88 pitches or so. You definitely need your bullpen this time of year.
Another one here says Yankees getting swept would bring a huge smile to my face, but you know they're going to enter the offseason even more aggressive. Orioles can't match their finances, but they can't keep running back the same roster and hoping to beat New York every year.
Yeah, at some point, you know, the talent, the overall talent is going to trump things, pretty much did this year with the Yankees winning the division and now ending up in the World Series. And it's not that the Orioles don't have talent, of course. They have a lot of young talent, but they need some external pieces. They need some of these guys that they can lean on in the most important time of the season. I do think this Orioles team lacks some players with that's been there and done that pretty much with experience, you know, I and that can also play. That's the thing. They've gotten experience from some of these vets that they brought in the past, but they're not necessarily the guys that are going to get you over the hump. They need to find guys that can help them in both areas.
A couple here on the Ravens. First one says, only one sack in six games for Clowney this year. Is he really the guy the Ravens want? Last year was great, but put him in this broken scheme, I'm not convinced he would be the difference maker they need.
Well, the thing about it was when he came into the Ravens, when he was at Cleveland, he didn't have many sacks either, you know, and he kind of fit perfectly. And they know what he can do, you know, and he knows the people and stuff. I think it would be a boost.
Another one here says, this is from Adam in Bel Air, Zach Orr clearly needs to go. Not fair to Lamar and the offense, who have been cooking with gas. If Dean Pease is already here in an advisory role, why aren't we looking at him to serve as defensive coordinator? Super Bowl will absolutely not happen with the defense in the current state.
Yeah. Zach, the defense is struggling overall. You know, at every position, they're struggling. So Is it a Zach? The thing with, if you put Dean Pease in charge, the only thing I'm scared about, he's not aggressive. You know, when they play, you know, he's kind of like the opposite of Mike McDonald. That's the only thing that I see with Dean Pease is that, you know, what are you getting? Are you getting vanilla?
And one last one. Texter says, what worries me most about the Marcus Williams situation, assuming him and Harbaugh or some coach had a spat, is other players maybe sounding off on the coaching staff. Things can get out of hand quickly if the locker room fractures.
I don't think there's a real risk of of the locker room fracturing, though. I think guys still understand what they're capable of as a team this year. That usually happens when, you know, it's a trickle-down effect and, all right, it's Marcus Williams now, but also we're not a good football team. We're 2-6. Like, I don't think that's the issue with the Ravens. I think they'll be able to keep their eye on the prize. I don't know what's exactly happening here with Marcus Williams, and maybe that all gets resolved this week, whether he's back on the field or whether he's a part of something at the trade deadline. But I don't necessarily have a concern about it kind of fracturing the locker room. We got time for a call. What you think? We should go to break.
We can squeeze one in.
All right, let's bring in Rashawn real quick. Rashawn, appreciate you holding.
Hey, man, no problem. First of all, congratulations to your commander.
I appreciate that.
Doing your thing. I'm a little jealous, man. But
and
hey,
you got
man.
Two teams, man. I mean, you got more opportunity to be happy these days.
Yeah, man. But you know, as far as the Cowboys go, man, they ain't, you know, I don't think I'm gonna be going to no playoffs this year, man.
Nah, I don't think
so. I think y'all, the Eagles, man, going to take that division though. But y'all still haven't played the Cowboys yet, so I mean,
I can't wait.
Know, yeah, I can't wait either, though. But on to the Ravens and this Zach Orr stuff, man. I mean, like, if they fire him, right, who will they get to replace him that's going to be better than him in season? And also, as far as the trading situation, like, do you think they can get, like, a Max Crosby for, like, a second-round pick? Or would they get
Mark Davis already came out and said he's not trading him.
Oh, he's not trading him?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, so who's else out there? The Honey Badger guy, I keep hearing his name thrown around. What would it take to get him? Maybe a second or a third? You know, I know the Ravens love these draft picks, but we got to do something quick because it's going to wind up a situation where, you know, Steelers going to run away with this division because they have the easiest schedule for the rest of the season. And we're going to be playing a road game, man. You know, we're going to Kansas City somewhere. You know, we need that home field advantage again. Even though I think they play better, you know, on the road as a scene than they other Super Bowls they won. Two Super Bowls they won. They won them, you know, playing them on the road, though. So we
should see, though. Tougher the better.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, appreciate the call, Rashawn. We got to hit the break, but I don't think it'll take that much to get Honey Badger, really any of these guys right now.
No.
You shouldn't have to give up a second or third to get any of these dudes.
You're talking fifth through seventh.
Yeah. And in terms of the Ravens, I've always said I think the tougher the road, the better for the Ravens. They just seem to thrive when their back is up against the wall and people are betting on them to lose. Last year, the road was easier, quote unquote, but that's just... If for whatever reason, that doesn't get their juices going. Their juices get going when people are overlooking them and they're the afterthought. Coming up next here on Vinny and Haney, we'll get you some news from the Nest. We'll hear from John Harbaugh, who addressed the media yesterday following that loss to the Browns. What did he have to say about the miscommunications? What's going on with Justin Tucker, who missed another field goal on Sunday? Any concern there? We'll hear from Harbs next here on The Fan.